Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Let's go through some things that, even though Washington's coming off a big win, and even though at home twice they've blown out pretty bad teams, we're still tracking and a little bit concerned about. We're going to call this "yeah, but." So the way we can do this, Danny, is, yeah, they're 2-1, but you can call us with your "yeah, but" at 800-636-1067. I'll give you my first one.
Okay.
Yes, I'm excited, and the Commanders are 2-1, but the injuries are mounting. Secondary, specifically, corner and safety. Quarterback, knee, big brace. We're going into game number two where maybe he's not around and we don't really have any updates. The team's not giving any intel at all on what's going on with Jaden Daniels in the knee. This is a dual threat running quarterback who, if he had a game today, would miss a second straight game probably. So, yeah, they're 2-1, but last year, injuries were never a problem. This year, they're already becoming a dilemma. You've lost a defensive end for the season. You've lost a running back for the year. Yeah, but these injuries, man.
They're 2-1, and I'm much happier about that than if they were 1-2 or 0-3. That's obvious. But the last 2 weeks, they've allowed an average of just under 300 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, no picks, and they're one of 3 teams that has not forced a turnover on defense at all. They are vulnerable through the air. That's before some of the injuries in the secondary. So now that you have those, how much more vulnerable are they? Thank God they've played 3 teams that are very concerned with the number of runs they call. Run the dang ball. Every run against them right now is a favor. They're 2-1, but you can throw on them at will.
Yeah, they're 2-1, but Matt Gay is going to cost them a game here if something doesn't change pretty quickly. Yeah, they're 2-1, but this kicking situation is a problem. He has missed half of his 6 field goal attempts. He missed 2 of his first 3 field goal attempts. He has now missed from inside of 40. The first 2 were 50 plus. And yeah, they're 2-1, but he's also booted a ball out of bounds on the kickoff, where he struggled, if you remember, keeping the ball in bounds in the preseason a little bit. He's a Pro Bowler. He's won a Super Bowl. This is a guy that was very, very good at one point in time, and you give him a little bit of leash here. But it's been a struggle in the kicking game. It's one of the only weaknesses on special teams they've got to this point.
They're 2-1, but the pass game has not really gotten going the way that you would like to have seen it. And Jaden Daniels is now banged up. As we know, great chance he misses his second game. He and Terry McLaurin had 2 practices together before the season started. Now McLaurin also is banged up. McLaurin himself, 3rd leading receiver on the team, well behind Debo Samuel and Zach Ertz for those honors. They haven't gotten going. I don't know when they're going to get going now that they both have some nagging injuries.
Yeah, they're 2-1, and I'm thrilled about that. But this wide receiver position going into the week is a bit of a mess. What if Terry's out and Noah Brown's not back? And now I'm talking about Chris Moore on one side and Luke McCaffrey on the other with Debo in motion and doing his jet action backfield stuff. Yeah, they're good. They're 2-1. They've pummeled a couple of teams that weren't very good. But wide receiver was thin as paper to start the year. They only kept five guys on the active roster. It wasn't until right before the season that they called up Chris Moore from the practice squad to make six. And you're losing two of your top three in the first 3 weeks of the year, potentially? We're going to miss game time? Let's go to Zach in Stafford. You can call us at 800-636-1067 for a little yeah but here. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm saying, yeah, they're 2-1, but it's trending a lot like last year where the quality of opponents that they're beating are like bottom half of the league teams, and we're losing to all the playoff teams.
Yeah, so the sample this year is obviously one game in that capacity, but your point is your point, which is this is how it went last season. Now, people will still try every now and then to knock them for last year as if they didn't beat Tampa on the road in the playoffs or Detroit on the road, which was such a signature awesome win in the postseason. I know they got blown out in Philly, but that was two really damn good wins.
Yeah.
Playoff wins, those matter a little bit more. Those are weighted. But his point is correct. I mean, last year, if you look at it, they're only true quality signature victory against a winning playoff caliber team was Philly, who led them 14-0 when Jalen Hurts got hurt. And then they beat Kenny Pickett the rest of the way in that game. But that's a good one. Yeah, you're 2-1, but your wins are against an 0-3 Giants team that just benched their starting quarterback, whose coach might get fired imminently. And a Raiders team that is 1-2, that has a new coach and a new quarterback and a bad defense and a terrible offensive line, and is probably going to finish last in the AFC West. That's reasonable.
Absolutely is.
Now, and I'd add to this, sorry. And you played the Packers the one time you played a game against a team that is playoff bound, and they bludgeoned you. Like, you didn't lose, you got embarrassed.
Now, we can have a conclusion like that after a bigger sample. It's not their fault that their first three games feature two teams that are going to pick in the top seven.
Absolutely. But I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, dealing with the reality of what's happening.
100%. Here's another yeah, but for you. I thought coming into the season, I think a lot of people did, that this offensive line would be a strength, given how they, you know, added Larry Bertelsa. They traded for him. They drafted Josh Connerly in the first round. We're already on two new starters, and the guy that we thought was going to be a Pro Bowl left guard was inactive this past week. And Connerly, now, granted, he's had to go up against some really, really good players at defensive end, but a lot of teams have really good players at defensive end. It's a premium position where people pay a premium for it. This is why we're here. That offensive line is in flux and hasn't been as strong as we thought just yet.
See, I'm trending up on the O-line in a big way, especially after this week. They just dominated in the run game again this week. I mean, they completely destroyed the Raiders' front. And to Josh Connerly's credit, zero pressures allowed for him this week via PFF. Now, there was one play where, you know, he's blocking down and, like, Crosby comes across and goes and gets a sack or whatever. But 0% pressure rate on, it was only 23 pass snaps. There's a lot to kind of pick through here. One, nice bounce back outing for him. Two, awesome job by Kingsbury insulating him better this week.
Yep.
Game situation helps. You're playing from in front. You're running the ball. Also, play calling helps. They ran the ball 55% of the time. It was the fifth highest run rate of any team, any game this season in the NFL. So that's a factor as well. They also did some cool things with unbalanced lines, bringing Tunsil over. They had heavy looks where, you know, a tackle was playing tight end next to him. Like, all of these things helped Connerly out against Crosby, but it's exactly what they should have done. But to your point, Laremy Tunsil's got one of the best grades as a pass blocker in the league, and the two guards they elevated, yes, they've made changes at those two positions, so that's one way to look at it. The other is, those guys both kicked butt this week. I thought Wiley was really good, and Chris Paul was a big, strong man, was very solid as well.
Through three games, who are your top three performers?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
On our team, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I did want to say something real quickly. Have you seen some of Jacob Young's catches the last couple of days for the Nats, including the catch he made last night against the Braves and the catch in which he basically, you know, had a chance against the wall against the Mets? The ball fell out, but then he kicked it up with his foot and caught it on a second opportunity, hacky sack style. Have you seen those catches?
Yeah, dude. He finds a way every late September, early October to just turn into this defensive demon. It's very impressive. I like Jacob Young a lot.
Well, what he did with the foot, that is an athlete. That is what, you know, there are different ways to describe athletes. Sometimes it's, you know, size, speed, you know, leaping ability, all that. But then there's the super coordinated athlete, the guy that may not be the fastest, may not be the quickest, may not jump the highest, but the hand-eye, the foot-eye coordination, that's an athlete right there with that description in terms of coordinated. Really impressive. Look, the Nats have had a horrendous season, although they did take 2 out of 3 against the Mets over the weekend to really kind of screw it up. The Mets are hanging by a thread in the wild card race. I think they're tied with Cincinnati. Let me just look this up, or it might be Arizona.
No, it's since I was looking last night. It's Cincinnati, and then they got
Cincinnati
somebody hot
for the
on their
last
tail.
Wild card spot.
Yeah, and then hot on their tail is the NL.
Arizona's a game back of the two of those teams.
Correct.
5 games left. 6 games left. They played 156, so they got 6 games left. Who do they play? The Reds or the Diamondbacks here at the end or not?
No, Nats.
Cubs and Marlins. They need to make the postseason after the season that they were having there for a while. You know what's kind of amazing about the Mets? At one point, they were leading the East. They're 12 games behind the Phillies. The Phillies have run away with the National League East. I love this time of year in baseball. I can't wait for the playoffs to begin. And you got heavyweights. You know, you got the Dodgers. You got the Phillies. Hopefully, I actually want to see Juan Soto in the postseason. And then you've got, you know, obviously the Yankees and potentially the Red Sox both in the postseason, although the Red Sox are being chased down by Cleveland and Houston for that last wild card spot. Cleveland's been rolling, or they were. I don't know what they did over the weekend.
The Brewers have been incredible, too, by the way.
They're a game back of Detroit in the American League Central. And Houston's 3 back of Seattle in the AL West. When's the last time Houston didn't make the postseason?
That's a great question.
Haven't they had basically like a 6 or 7 year, 8 year run of making the postseason? I'm sure there was a year in there maybe they didn't make it, but seems like it. All right, 301-230-0980. 3 games in, who are your top 3 performers? So I'm going to give you my top 3. Then Max is going to give you his top 3. My number one performer through 3 games, Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong leads the NFL in both total pressures and pressure rate through 3 weeks. He has been an outstanding player through 3 weeks of this season. He has gotten after the quarterback. He, by the way, is incredibly versatile. He can line up inside. He can line up on the edge. He can drop into coverage. 92 has really, like, the way he ended the season in the postseason last year. Dorrance Armstrong, for me, I did talk about him over the summer and thought there was a chance he could have a big year. Like, if the defense was going to turn it around and be a better defense this year, I thought Dorrance Armstrong would have a lot of say in that. He leads the team in three sacks. He's got three sacks through three games. Again, total pressures, 18, number one in the NFL. Pressure rate, 25% through 3 weeks, number one in the NFL, according to the 33rd team and Sam Monson. We've had Sam on the show many times. Dorrance Armstrong, my number one performer through three games. Number two, it's a tight call between three players, but I'm going to go number two, Javon Kinlaw. I think the defensive front just is different than it was last year, and it's the reason that I am optimistic. Now, we got to see it against better offensive teams. The Raiders, bad offensive line. The Giants in week one, bad offensive line. No Andrew Thomas in the opener. And then, you know, the Packers kind of, I thought they did a decent job against the run against the Packers, but the bottom line is the Packers got what they wanted whenever they really needed it. So I need to see it against better teams like the Chargers in a few weeks to really believe in the, you know, overhaul of the defense producing much better results. But I am optimistic because of Kinlaw in particular up front and the season Duran's having. But I think Javon Kinlaw has been a load to handle up front. You know, that was a, you know, somewhat surprising contract that he got in the moment. But it looks like Adam Peters knew what he was getting in Kinlaw. And I think he's made a major impact up front on this team. He's number two. Number three, and I'm leaving out my guy because you know I love Daron Payne, and I think Daron's had an exceptional start to the season. He was so good Sunday. Again, against a terrible offensive line and really bad on Sunday. They were missing one of their best players. Actually, the player was active, just didn't play much. I'm going to go Debo at number three. I think it's very obvious that they got a weapon that as long as he stays healthy is going to really pay off in a big way for this team when everybody else is healthy. Quarterback, offensive line, Cosme gets back. They figure out the right mix along the offensive line. Terry gets back to where he should be. I think Debo is, I think I've always been a massive Debo fan. I've always thought that he is an elite level weapon offensively when he's healthy. We've seen that through three games. And on top of that, what a hell of a kickoff returner he is. So one is Armstrong, two is Kinlaw, three is Debo for me. Top three performers through the first 3 weeks of the season. That's my list. Max, what's your list?
So Armstrong and Kinlaw are on my list, but for the sake of highlighting other guys, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. So my first guy, I'm going to take Daron Payne. He's been very good through the last 3 weeks. He had a 90.6 grade this week against Las Vegas, 81.2 pass rush grade.
90.6 was his what? Ben mentioned this.
PFF grade against Las Vegas.
That's an outstanding grade.
Insane.
He looked the part. He looked the grade on Sunday. Now, he did not, I would assume, I don't know what his PFF grade was against Green Bay. He did not have a good game against the Packers. No one really did. What was his PFF grade against the Packers?
I'm trying to find the, it's just a full grades page. I need to give the,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I can't give it a game-by-game breakdown unless I pay for PFF, which I won't be doing.
Okay.
But my number two, Trey Amos. He's been really good. He's been the best corner kind of on this team, especially on the outside this past couple weeks. has 9 total targets. That's tied for 10th in the NFL.
I thought you said you had 2 out of the 3 that I had.
I they were going to be on my list, but for the sake of being different, I'm
don't be different. You don't have to be different. I want to hear who you think the top 3 performers have been.
All right. Well,
we can have the exact same list.
Trey Amos is on that list without a doubt. Because he has been CB1 on this team. He's got 2 pass breakups, tied for 11th in the league, a 58.1 passer rating when targeted, only given up 4 receptions for 41 yards through 3 games. Trey Amos has been a welcome addition to this DB's room. I like Trey a lot, and I think he's got a lot of room to grow. And then, screw it, I'm going Dorrance Armstrong, because he's been incredible. And I keep seeing him on all these charts, like you know, the top right corner is always the good corner because that's where you always see Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, all of them. Right below them is Dorrance Armstrong. He's been having a really good year, especially through these last 3 games. I really like what he's been doing, man.
What's his best sack year? What was it in Dallas? I'm pulling it up right now. Did he ever have double-digit sacks?
I don't think so.
No. 8.5 in 2022, 7.5 in 2023.
I think he's on pace for like 17 sacks, but that's through 3 games, so we'll tap the brakes on it. But he's played great so far, man. Really good. I mean, I like it.
He had a forced fumble in that Detroit game. He had, in the playoffs, 3.5 sacks in 3 games. He had, how many TFLs did he have? He had 5 TFLs, tackles for loss. He played exceptionally well. You know, after that Tampa and Detroit game, I remember coming in here saying, man, Armstrong has turned it on. You know, over the last part of the season as well. He's a good player. They don't have a dominant pass rusher. They don't. They don't have a TJ Watt. They don't have a Myles Garrett. They don't have a Trey Hendrickson. They don't have a Micah Parsons. But Dorrance Armstrong is not easy to block. And when you have Kinlaw and Payne, along with the blitzing possibilities of Luvu and Wagner, they've schemed up some pass rush here in the first 3 weeks of the season. They have. It's encouraging.
Quick stat from Commander's PR. Dorrance Armstrong joins Matt Ioannidis and Preston Smith as the 3rd player in franchise history to start the season with at least 1 sack in each of the first 3 games of the season.
Who are the other? Matt Ioannidis and who?
And Preston Smith.
And Preston Smith. So, you know, let's see what Preston Smith has. You know, he was not active for the game the other day. Maybe he's active on Sunday. It's encouraging that, again, you got to consider the 2 outstanding performances were against the Giants and against the Raiders. I know what the Giants did in week 2. Dallas is really bad on defense. But they also had Andrew Thomas, I think, in week 2. But beyond that, I want to see it against better quarterbacks, better offenses, etc. But the talent is better. Kinlaw is a big addition. They're going to miss Wise, no doubt. And Armstrong in year 2, you know, we talked a lot about during the offseason, year 2 in this system should be better than year 1 in this system. All, you know, guys playing together for the first time. Dorrance Armstrong has been really, really good through the first 3 games. All right, you had Payne, Amos, Armstrong as your top 3 performers in that order through the first 3 games. My top 3 performer list through the first 3 games is Armstrong, Kinlaw, and Debo. 301-230-0980. I want your top 3 performers through the first 3 games. It's not who you think the best players are. It's the performances through 3 games. Tell me who you think the team's top 3 performers have been through these first 3 games of the season. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up in a few minutes here. We should be talking with Michael Chiklis, star of The Shield.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Star of a ton of stuff. I mean, the dude's career has gone, I don't know, 25, 30 years. I was looking him up in the break. I didn't realize he was on an episode of Seinfeld. As soon as I pulled that up, I knew exactly the episode. I watched The Shield. It was awesome. Very, very gritty. And he has a new movie coming out. Should be really cool. It's about a 59-year-old dude going back to play college football. I guess he still had some eligibility left. So we'll have to ask Michael about that, and he's a big football fan, is my understanding, so we'll kind of see who his squad is when we get him on the line. Right now, I'm out in Ashburn, and the biggest question, I think, is still, you know, who's going to be the quarterback this weekend for the Washington Commanders, but I think the Terry McLaurin situation just kind of lingering out there, and we won't hear from Dan Quinn until tomorrow afternoon, probably while we're on the air, so we'll get a little more understanding of what they're going to do at QB. But every time, you know, not having Terry, you might not have Noah Brown. The receiver room is going to be pretty darn interesting. So we're going to kind of just see what happens there. The point spread is pretty terrifying, too. I don't understand how Atlanta got their doors blown off by Carolina last week, 30-0, and Washington smoked the Raiders last week, 41-24, and Washington's only a 1.5-point favorite. To quote Kevin Sheehan, that doesn't smell right. But whatever, that's why they play the games. Vegas doesn't always know. Sometimes they do, though. We're hoping to be joined by Michael Chiklis here in just a minute. I'm just going to kind of keep it moving, boys, because Jeff's telling me we're having trouble making the phone work there. Okay. Maybe we are going to be joined by Michael Chiklis. I don't know. I will defer to the experts in the aquarium on that. I'm just going to kind of move forward to the Falcons because, you know, circling back to Jaden for this game, it's unclear if he's going to play. But Mariota was excellent last week. And I guess some people might have a question if Marcus can do that again. But I just, for me, Marcus has been nothing but excellent wearing a burgundy and gold uniform. And so that's just my expectation with him. Yesterday, I asked Deebo Samuel if he has been impressed by Bill, the rookie running back. And he said, no, once I saw him in training camp and realized what he can do, that's just what I expect him to do. And I thought it was such a good, honest answer. It honestly reminded me a lot of what B. Mitch always says. Like, football players are expected to be good. When you go out on the field, the expectation is you're going to ball out because you're there for a reason. And I think that's Bill's mindset. And I think that is Mariota's mindset. So obviously this team is better with Jaden out there, but I certainly think they can win the game with Mariota on the field. If you look at Atlanta's roster, there are reasons to be worried. I think it starts with Bijan Robinson. I think Washington, though, has been pretty good against the run through three games. Even in the game they got smoked against Green Bay, Josh Jacobs finished that thing with, I think, about 80 yards rushing on 17 carries or something. It wasn't like a particularly impressive. I think his yards per carry was sub 3. Week 1, the Giants got nothing done on the ground. Week 3, Genty got a little bit, but not much. So Bijan's obviously an excellent player. I heard Von Miller on with the Junks earlier in the week talking about he trains with Bijan and just the level of athleticism there is crazy. You got the Falcons are going to be in a really good situation. I also wonder what the situation is. What are the vibes in Atlanta? They just fired their receivers coach, and they're making their OC move from the booth down to the field. You could argue that's a little bit of desperation. And does that desperation leak into the locker room? You could argue that maybe these are just the changes they need to make, and that'll open up their offense. I know Zach Robinson's their offensive coordinator. They're just not scoring. They're moving the ball okay between the 20s and then just doing nothing. So, through three games, Atlanta's 13th in yards gained, 31st in points scored. I also was texting with somebody last night that says their special teams are terrible. And so defensively, they've been put in a lot of bad positions, and the stats would bear that out. They're second in yards allowed defensively, the Falcons, but 13th in points scored, which is kind of doesn't really add up. And if you just think about, all right, so they're not giving up much yards, but they're about middle of the league in points, it means teams don't really need to move the ball much to get points. Like looking at some of these scores they've given up, the opponent's touchdown log is a lot of short drives. They've also given up a pick six. So there's going to be – Penix had a pick six last week to the Panthers. I don't know. But then you look at the bets on this thing, and this I can't help but point out. And I can hear Chris Russell in his car screaming that Vegas doesn't know anything. Vegas knows something. It doesn't always play out their way. It's been odd. I don't think the line moved based on Terry McLaurin. I think this is just a tricky spot where maybe Vegas thinks Atlanta's a little bit better than what we've seen. And what you never want to do in the NFL is make a judgment solely based on the previous week. If we're talking solely based on the previous week, then clearly Washington's significantly better than Atlanta, because Atlanta got their ass kicked by the Panthers and Washington beat up on the Raiders. Vegas ain't making a determination solely on last week, so I recommend you do the same. Landy, I'm curious for you, and I want to open these phone lines up. Your confidence level in Washington going down to Atlanta and what it is about Atlanta that scares you.
I feel confident in Atlanta. They've actually, I think, weirdly been pretty successful down in Atlanta the last couple of years. Wasn't there like one of the Taylor Heineke games where he threw like a ridiculous, was that the game where the ref like tackled the other team's DB when Heineke was playing?
Yeah, he did.
That was awesome.
I think that was a different game with Ritter. The Heineke game, who was the running back that hurt his neck? I'm blanking on his name. J.D. McKissick.
Okay.
Heineke rolled way to his left, was basically on the left sideline, chucked it way up in the air, opposite side of the field, kind of into the middle of the field, which will freak coaches out. And McKissick grabbed it, made a hell of a run to the right corner of the end zone, and they won. It was one of those. Heineke had a touchdown throw to Terry in that game where I didn't even see Terry in like the field, and he just jumped and made a play out of nowhere. There have been some wild games against the Falcons. They've generally played well down there in this last like 5 years or so, I would say, to your point.
Yeah, they've played well down there, and we've talked about my hot betting streak. One of my bets from a few weeks ago when the Vikings and the Falcons were playing was that both of those quarterbacks are terrible, and the score was going to be very low, winner.
And then the Falcons scored 0 points this week and got blown out by the Panthers. I have way too much. I mean, it's absurd the levels of confidence I have in this team, regardless of whether Mariota's playing or Jaden Daniels or even the newly cleanly shaven Sam Hartman is playing. I think we'd win this game. I think that it is going to be an annihilation, and I'd like to see the defense get their first shutout in, what, like 30 years or something?
I think it was 91 was their last shutout.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think Beamish had a mustache and was returning punts. yeah, you'd like to see a shutout. Let's open the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. How confident are you in Washington heading down to Atlanta? There's obviously real questions, right? You don't know who the quarterback's going to be. You don't know what's up with your best receiver in Terry McLaurin. But Atlanta also just got their ass kicked by the Panthers, who are terrible. And Washington looked really good last week, and they ran for over 200 yards. Not to mention, I think the Falcons have really suspect special teams, and Washington's special teams have looked great. Last week they had a punt return touchdown. I asked Jalen Lane about it yesterday. He felt like he almost got a second one. Debo had a great return. Like, the return game's been strong. The coverage game has been strong. Do have questions at kicker. You know, Matt Gay has not been automatic, to say the least. I don't know. I think I feel oddly confident about this one. Recognizing that my biggest hesitation for this, seriously, is the way Vegas looks at it. And I know that people will tell me they don't know anything. But that's the only thing. The line on this seems so funky, it gives me a little bit of pause about what's going to shake out on Sunday. Jeffrey, where's your confidence level?
I'm confident we will win, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as everyone is predicting. To me, in my opinion, Terry would have been a big part of our offense. Now it's like that attention that he would take away when he would go out and all that is not going to be there. So we're going to have to come, you know, with our T's crossed and our I's dotted and play a good game of football, because they're fired up from last week. It's no way they got shut out and we think this is just going to be a game that we could just walk over them. Nah. So I think we're going to get the win, though. I'm calling it probably by like a touchdown or 10 points at the most.
Okay. Confident, but not too confident. I think that's a fair place to be. We'll open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I think when you're looking specifically at Atlanta and what freaks you out, it is Bijan. I think that's where the list starts. The Falcons' defense has been good. If you dig into on third downs, they're about middle of the pack defensively. But against the run, they've been really good. They've been pretty good in the red zone. A big area where Atlanta falls apart is their red zone defense has been okay. They've given up 3 touchdowns on 5 attempts by opposing offenses in the red zone. Offensively, they're 2 of 7 in the red zone. They've scored 2 touchdowns on 7 red zone tries. That's 28%. That's 30th in the NFL. I'm guessing the only teams worse than them are like the Saints and the Dolphins, or maybe the Giants when Russ Wilson gets an intentional grounding at the goal line. Washington has been good in the red zone, I'll say. I'll actually pull up their numbers. Just top of my head, I feel like Washington's got to be good. They had 2 goal line stops against the Giants. Green Bay was out of the red zone when they forced that 1 fourth down try. Washington's 5th in the NFL in red zone defense. They've given up 5 touchdowns in 9 attempts for the opposition. So I think this really could come down to that. And as much as you say, as much as Bijan seems like a very serious threat, Penix is a complete and utter wild card. Let's start with Quentin in Bethesda. Quentin, how you feeling this week? What are you worried about with Atlanta?
What's up, JP? Well, obviously, I'm worried about just our well, our run defense has actually really been surprising. I like Big Kinlaw, so I think we managed the run game. Penix, he made us worry last year a little in the pass game, but the main thing, the main reason I called was just to say that Marcus Mariota really put a, I feel like is going to put a fire under JD, because last year he came in as not like a, he was the starter, but he still had to work for it. This year he came in as the named starter. But I think Marcus playing at the level he did is going to make JD become more accurate, because he feels like the fan base will hold him accountable now, because we've seen that our offense can work. So now we need him to just be like last year and be like a missile and just get us to where we need to get to. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, dude. All right, phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. How are you feeling about the Commanders going down to Atlanta this weekend? What scares you about the Atlanta Falcons? They just got their ass kicked by the Panthers, and yet Vegas seems to like them more than people realize.
Lots of mystery surrounding the injuries to both Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin from the Commanders. We have an update on Terry McLaurin's health status. I believe this is Terry Ian Rappaport.
Terry McLaurin, his star receiver, I would say similarly murky status, although probably more toward the negative side as it pertains to this week. McLaurin did not practice yesterday, dealing with a quad injury. It's an interesting one, described to me as more of a hip flexor injury. Doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. Still struggles to run. May not be able to play this week. Got another second opinion on his injury yesterday, so we'll see where that lands him.
So now it's, I mean, from kind of different hip flexor.
Yeah, I mean, I
think it's to be the injury.
It's definitely different than a hernia.
It's different than a quad.
Yeah.
Now, if you look it up on AI, they say, I typed in, what are the common causes of a hip flexor injury? Overuse.
Okay. Right? Yeah. That's sure. One.
How about holding in?
Sudden forceful movements that could fall. Trauma, a fall, slip, or blow to the hip could result in a hip flexor injury.
Okay.
And then these are the ones that pertain to us. Sedentary lifestyle, yes. Improper conditioning. That would be us.
Right. Sure.
I know a lot of people our age that are getting hip replacements.
Yeah. But, and I could say I definitely have like terrible, from my sedentary lifestyle, my hip flexors are super tight all the time. That's different than I think a tear. I'm guessing, I think this is actually good news.
Terry's not going to play on Sunday.
I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. But I think this is good news relative to like a sports hernia where that might require a procedure, you know, where he's out 6 weeks or something.
His hip flexor just needed rest? How's that work?
Maybe if it's just little micro tears, I'm guessing. Let's guess. If it's micro tears, you just need a couple weeks to, you got to let it heal up a little bit.
Yeah.
As long as it's not anything that needs surgery.
By the way, the doctor that he's rumored to go see, Dr. William Myers, he's the leading authority on the awareness that the whole core muscle complex, inclusive with the hip joint, contributes blah, 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 blah.
So to everything. Yeah.
That makes sense that he'd be seeking out his opinion.
Well, I told you my back pain largely has disappeared in a lot of ways from golf, from hip flexor stuff. And not even just pain, but being all hunched over.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You stretch your hip flexor, all of a sudden you can stand up straight.
All right,
it's wild.
This may be radical, but now is the time I think Adam Peters, he has to go back to the drawing board and maybe revisit trading for another receiver. Like, I feel like now with...
Why? What if it's only a 1 or 2 week thing?
Well, we don't know if it's a 1 or 2 week thing.
Let's just say it is.
Okay, if it's a 1 or 2 week thing, still have questions in the wideout room as far as I'm concerned. Noah Brown...
Because Noah's banged up.
Can't get out on the field.
You can't... I agree with you on that.
Okay, Debo's there. Okay, that's good. It's good to have him. Just feel like they could use another piece.
I would agree.
And does it have to be a home run like a Tyreek Hill type deal? No. But I think Adam Peters could work around the edges and try to find somebody to help out that room. That's my opinion with all the injuries that are swirling around.
I would say a counter opinion to that would be, well, this is why we have backups. Next man up. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying the counter argument is this is Luke McCaffrey's time. It's now or never.
And Jalen Lane.
He has huge potential. It's next man up
mentality.
But if
they feel like those guys aren't quite ready, I just feel like Peters should do his due diligence and at least explore the trade
market. Unless they're extraordinary guys.
Maybe he is.
don't you think these guys have been in the system at least for 6 months or so with Lane and Luke in his second year?
Yep.
Won't they be better to fit in and maybe get going than some guy you bring off the street who's been on four or five teams?
Possibly.
That maybe had 30 catches 1 year.
Or maybe you find somebody that knows Kliff's system, a guy that played for him in the past that they feel like they could integrate pretty quickly.
Okay.
And I don't know who that person is. Yeah, I don't even know if that person exists.
Well, do you feel comfortable bringing up one of these guys from the practice squad? You know, Jacoby Jones.
I think that's a long shot.
It's kind of a long shot,
right? That's why they're there.
I know. But do you feel comfortable if they actually have to play? I wouldn't feel great about that.
Why wouldn't you see how these guys fare right now?
Right.
And then in November, you have the trade deadline. Looking back at last season. Trade deadline. Wide receivers get moved. Mm-hmm. Davante Adams from Vegas to the Jets.
Yep.
You had Amari Cooper acquired by the Bills from the Cleveland Browns. Deontay Johnson was traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Carolina Panthers. Mike Williams ended up in Pittsburgh.
Well, the last three guys you mentioned are all no longer in the league.
I get it, but guys get moved.
I'd rather be aggressive about it. If there's somebody that Peters likes, that he feels like would work in the system, rather than wait till November. I can't wait another 2 months.
Yeah, but you got to see. I think
you're
impulsive give these
guys, and rash.
I think
if you get a win, you're 3-1.
True.
I think
that give you a little breathing room.
A little bit.
I feel like the wideouts are they're kind of teetering right now.
But if Brown is expected to be back soon,
I
don't
want
to rely on him.
I'll never count on him.
Okay, but Terry might be back next week.
He might not be. I'm looking at the worst case scenario. I'm baking in worst case scenario here for Terry McLaurin.
I think you kind of see how it plays out this week.
Right. Right?
Terry not going
to
go.
Right. It's too late to make a move this week.
If those other guys, if all Marcus is throwing to is Debo and Ertz, and those other guys just aren't open or they're dropping balls, then I think you have to revisit that.
If the Dolphins lose to the Jets this weekend and fall to 0-4, they're going to be in full fire sale mode. That's when I would be calling. Now, Tyreek Hill is not the type of guy you want to bring into a Dan Quinn locker room. He doesn't seem like that sort of guy. But if he still has something left and you feel like he'd be a good addition, it's at least worth exploring.
Did you see the team that supposedly is somewhat interested in Tyreek Hill?
I've seen at least two teams mention, one of them the Steelers.
Steelers was the team that I was.
And there are people that actually think he doesn't have anything left. There are people that think that.
Think he's unhappy and the Dolphins are going nowhere so that they would try and get something for him.
Right. But the idea that he doesn't have anything left
is
crazy.
Oh, he definitely does. No, he does.
Yeah.
He's not where he was 3 years ago, but he certainly does.
Let's go to Alex in Potomac. Let me see here.
He also has a quarterback that's thrown to the other team all the time.
Alex, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to wish a happy new year to everybody who celebrates.
Okay.
And related, I want to call out Ian Rappaport.
Jewish New
He's
Year.
He's got a lot to atone for this year. Yeah, sorry about that.
All good.
He's got a lot to atone
Cakes
for this
perplexed.
Year.
Perplexed.
Okay.
First off, he had that little mix-up with Jordan Schultz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Secondly... And Jordan Schultz, also a member of the tribe, so they need to sort that out.
Right.
Secondly, the other day I heard him on Good Morning Football saying, surprise, 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 Terry McLaurin holds in, and now he's got a quad injury. He's talking, insinuating that it's a soft tissue injury. Mm-hmm. Now he's calling it a hip flexor. It's very clear Terry McLaurin probably injured himself going for the touchdown, which in my estimation should have been a touchdown, but, whatever. The referees wanted to take that away from him. So I think he's got to atone for that sin as well.
All right, hold on.
I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. I guess Alex knows. I would think a hip flexor, is that not categorized as a soft tissue injury? A hip flexor?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
I don't know.
I didn't learn that at Towson.
You're asking the sports elderly guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
If we know what a hip flexor
is. Did you take any science classes at Towson?
Any science classes? That's a great question.
I don't know that. I mean, I guess psychology I took at Maryland.
I took psychology at Towson. I don't think I took any other science classes. I had my fill of science classes in high school.
Right there with
I'm
you.
You know what science is? Boring.
Yeah, I'm with you. Boring.
It looks like the hip flexor is the muscle that allows the hip to move, your leg to move up and down.
The hip flexor is considered a soft tissue. because it is a group of muscles, and muscles are a type of soft tissue that connect bones to bones. Hip flexor injuries are categorized as soft tissue. So, yeah.
What was his point again?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
He just wanted to shout out fellow Jewish folks, I think. That's what it seemed like it to me.
I don't understand why he was mad at Ann. It's not a huge leap. It's not because Terry injured a muscle.
Yeah, and if you said,
and if you injure a muscle, it's not a stretch to believe that not being in training,
see what you did there.
Not being in training camp can lead to muscle injuries.
Yeah, but I think that's
yeah,
true.
But these guys get the problem is these guys get muscle injuries when they go to training camp, when they do everything.
Yeah, it's just
so it's hard to like say that it's because.
And specifically on this one, didn't we all see?
I think there's a higher correlation and a higher rate.
Maybe. I'm not sure that that's true.
I don't know. That might be true.
Then why do people say it?
Because it's easy to say. I mean, if you show me the research that proves it, then I'll say, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to show you the research.
He's going to dig down on this one.
Ann Rappaport, I mean, yeah. I don't think Ann Rappaport's a clown and would just say that just to say that.
Right.
No, I just think that...
I think there's some sort of tendency for it.
I think it's the common perception that if you hold out, you're more likely to have soft tissue injuries. Whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Michael Parsons held out this year, right? Who are all the hold-ins?
He could have...
Let's see.
There were three. T.J. Watt.
T. Higgins, right?
T. Higgins.
Hendrickson. Either way. Listen, I don't understand. I'm assuming he got hurt stretching and being yanked on, trying to extend across the goal line, and then the subsequent fall.
I would think so, too.
If he had been there all training camp with the guys, would that have prevented that?
I don't think so.
It's hard to imagine.
Maybe
that.
T. Higgins wasn't a hold-in.
Higgins was like a year ago.
No,
but
yeah,
he's right.
Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson, yeah. Micah Parsons. Like, there were a bunch of guys that weren't participating.
Right. All right, let's go to Lou in Waldorf. Lou, what's up, man?
The big fatty from the Steelers.
This is why I was advocating for making a move away from Terry from the beginning, because he's aging. And here we are. Part of being a good organization is knowing when to sign people, when to release people. Tyreek Hill was the move in the summer, but they waited too long, and now they signed him, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek's older.
Tyreek's like a year older.
He's an aging guy, too.
Terry.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he doesn't play like that age, but he's in his 30s.
Let's go to Toothpick. Toothpick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's good, man?
Yo.
Hey, Lurch, you still my guy, but I got to tell you right now, Cakes is on to something, right?
What? With
Cakes,
what?
Cakes, this is all you. Tyreek Hill makes Deebo more dangerous. It makes Jalen Lane more dangerous. It makes the whole offense more dangerous. And then when you do get Terry back, you have speed, and more speed. You can't put eight in the box no more, and then your guy, Bill, goes off again. Bill, the running backs, they all go off. All of that speed all over the field. Tyreek Hill is the move. Tyreek Hill is the move.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, Toothpick, but I think it's at least worth the conversation.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they acquired him,
I was thinking about it.
You know how excited Commanders fans would be? I'm not saying it's,
they'd be pumped.
I'm not saying it's a bad move. I don't know what you would have to give up. Probably not as much as you think.
Yeah.
Because of his age. And
but you're thinking about it wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. It's not what you have to give up. It's what could you win? The end prize, which is the Super Bowl, because now that stresses Philly's defense. That gives us the leg up in a division.
Yeah, I know, but Toothpick, Adam Peters is going to negotiate. If he's interested in Tyreek Hill, he's not going to just offer up a first-round pick.
No, that would
I mean,
not
he's going to negotiate. So what are you willing to give up is the question.
Man, that's a good counterpoint. I'm saying
So he's also being investigated by the NFL. You know, that there's a risk that you could bring him in and he gets suspended by the NFL.
He does have the...
He has baggage. There's no doubt.
He definitely has baggage.
The NFL's notorious slow walkers, on those things.
Right.
They don't really want to be involved.
I'm just saying it's a risk.
Yeah.
It is a risk, but the reward at the end of the tunnel is way better. You know what I mean? Listen, these teams go through ebbs and flows. They go through all kinds of emotional roller coasters and things of that nature. But it's what they do together that makes it worth the prize at the end. So whatever Adam has to do to make that happen, or it, whatever he has to give up to keep his eye on the prize, which is hoisting Lombardi at the end of the year, that's what you got to do.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Toothpick.
Thanks, Toothpick.
Speaking of it from a fan's perspective, I get it.
By the way.
But they also, there's a culture aspect too. I mean, if Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill's just Miz all the time in the locker room,
right?
I don't care how good he is. Do you really want him there every day?
That's something you have to weigh.
Yeah.
If you were going to acquire him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, you'd be hard pressed to think of a guy that's like not a good dude. Like, that's the general perception.
Yeah.
In that locker room right now, we don't have a lot of malcontents that we're aware of.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a big reason that this team's been successful. That has something to do with winning a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone getting along, everyone's positive, good veterans in
Will
the locker room.
Will he buy into the brotherhood?
Don't know.
it's a good question. Yeah, not sure. Know. All right, when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Adam Sandler. He's at Capital One Arena this weekend. Your chance to win those tickets and go for free is coming up before the show is done.
All right, we'll keep you updated on the Ryder Cup. Now, the updates coming from Ashburn aren't great from an injury perspective. Jaden Daniels not out there. Terry McLaurin not out there. Noah Brown not out there. John Bates not out there. B, what do you make of all the injuries? Let's start with it. Sure looks like Mariota is going to be playing this week.
So, for me, I don't normally stress over a lot of them. Because I think when you're putting a team together, you should be picking guys that you feel can help you win, no matter if they're second or third teamers. Because ultimately in a football season, you're going to see some of everybody, you know? But when you start to lose guys, if you get worried, then I think you might have to think a little bit about how you put together the team. I think in the key positions, Mariota is number one. He's key. He's legit. He has the trust of the of offense, coaches, hell, everybody on that team trusts him. Now you start finding out who the other guys are. Bill is everybody love Bill. Everybody love Luke. But other guys can also play in those positions too. Bill is learning how to play football at this level by not playing his last year in college.
A lot of people thought he'd be so fresh, but the flip side is...
It's not the fresh thing. You got to be used to that physicality. Makes a world of difference.
The receiver position. Sure looks like you're not going to have Terry or Noah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
On the active roster, that will leave four receivers. Luke, Lane, Debo, and Chris Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you pull up from? I assume they're going to pull somebody up from the practice squad. You've got some options there. Ja'Cory Brooks, Jacoby Jones, Tay Martin. All three run 6'3". All three are presumably outside
Brooks
wideouts.
Brooks and Tay were most effective in this preseason.
Tay's the only one with, you know, NFL experience.
Mm-hmm.
The actual... Like, making this roster this week with picking your inactives, it's just going to be a pretty full slate. Like, you've got four guys down already, right? In Jaden, we're assuming, we're hypothesizing here. Jaden, Terry, Bates, Brown. Sure seems like Coleman's going to be inactive again. To elevate somebody, you are forced to make a corresponding move there.
Mm-hmm.
But
what can help this receiving core? It's a hell of a running game.
For sure.
So if they go out there and they run the ball as effective as they did last week, not depend on those receivers too much. And then running the ball will open up something for one of those receivers. You know what I mean? People going like, oh, we got to stop the run now. And all of a sudden, one of those receivers open wide.
So. What receiver do you have the most faith in stepping up, catching five or six passes, getting 70 yards through the air? Like, you know what Debo is. I'm saying of the other guys here.
I'll go with Chris at this point because since the season has started, Chris he's been there for him. You know, and he has experience. He's really his 10th year?
Yeah.
10th year in the league. So I expect him. But Jalen Lane, that kick return is probably going to work wonders for him. Your confidence level grows up. I mean, it blows up when you all of a sudden do something like that. You feel like I belong at this point. And we know he's talented. So we'll see.
So Kingsbury yesterday, speaking of Jalen Lane, where does he fit for them, slot or outside? Kingsbury said of Lane, he showed he can do some things outside. And so with our receiver situation, how it's been, he's been out there some and having to play, but I think eventually I'd like to see him as a slot in our offense.
Mm-hmm.
Situation might dictate that he's on the outside. I think you'd like Luke to be the outside guy for you. Another interesting question be, Kingsbury got asked, all right, if McLaurin and Brown aren't playing, do you need to balance Debo's work as a kick returner? And Cliff said, Debo's such an impact player in all phases that we're going to use him when we need him. But I'm sure if those guys can't go, that we'll be smart about the usage.
Yeah.
Do you have to limit Debo as a kick returner?
If you watch the game just last week, he wasn't back there later in that game. It was Jalen Lane and Luke.
Yeah.
And I believe you'll start seeing a lot more of that. And as, you know, Debo, if his workload picks up, I think you'll see those two guys back there even more.
With Luke, he last week went for about 60 yards. Last year, he went for about 180.
Mm-hmm.
With Luke, do you feel like that was the beginning of something to get the ball rolling? Or was that just kind of late in the game against not the best team?
I would hope that having a success gives him a little bit more comfortability. You know, I can't say if it was something that got him going or not. But what I will say is he now knows what he can do. You know what I mean? Maybe that changed up his production, his work ethic, his approach to it, you know, the way he goes at this thing. So once guys feel good about themselves, changes up the whole ball game for them.
Do you think they're in a position where they need to go get like a veteran?
Not necessarily.
Guys they had in, KJ Osborne, Michael Gallup.
They have got the guys they kept on practice squad. They could have kept those type of guys on practice squad. So whoever they kept on practice squad, those are the guys right there. Tate Martin has some level of experience. Chris Moore, we saw him immediately in there. So you got to lean on those guys. That's guys you kept.
Yeah, I mean, you kept them for a reason. You got them. Depending what's going on with Bill, do you think they need to call up one of their practice squad running backs? They have two running backs on the practice squad. Chase Edmonds had a lot of success with Cliff in Arizona, but Edmonds didn't play last year, had a bad knee injury. You also have, I believe, Donovan Edwards is the young man's name on the practice squad as a running back. Do you think you need to call one of those guys up?
If Nick McNichols and Rodriguez, I think both of those guys play special teams. You may need another guy. Let one of them play special teams, and one of those guys take a step away from it.
The Bill situation is very interesting from that standpoint, right? Like, you can't only have two running backs active, right?
Yeah.
Or you got to lean on Debo a lot more in the run game, which I'm not sure you want to do.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, listen, Jay, if Debo running the ball that day is going to help you win that football game, that's what you have to do.
In no way do the injuries mean you can't win a football game, but damn if these injuries aren't going to make things a lot more complicated on Sunday. Coming up at noon, opening the phone lines up for Ask B-Mitch Anything, brought to you by Collars & Co.
Coming up on the show, Dave Richard will join us at 8 o'clock. He'll answer all of your fantasy football questions for Week 4, which, by the way, begins tonight as Seattle and Arizona get together on Thursday Night Football. We're efforting for Brian Baldinger. He joins us usually in this spot. Hopefully he will call in shortly.
I know Baldy had a breakdown on Jerron Payne earlier this week. We've talked about how Payne has played really well. I think Kinlaw's been a hit.
He's been great. Scotty Abraham and all the guys that are there, you know, women, you know, locker room access. Scott posted a video and I retweeted it yesterday. Kinlaw seems like a cool dude, mm-hmm. man. Yeah. And he was asked specifically about Payne, and he talked about how coming from the South or whatever, he grew up watching him in Alabama. Yeah. He's always been a huge fan of his, and that he just wants to play at his level. And he's just so grateful to be here. Like, he just seems like a really good dude.
He looked like he had, I can't vouch for this. Looked like he had a giant lipper in.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
You know what he likes to do? He likes to drop F-bombs and to the media.
Oh, he does? That's his thing?
Yeah.
Well, he likes the media. He actually even said, even you guys are great. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. He's
I
like,
didn't see it.
No, it's just locker room stuff. Yeah. And Abraham and those guys have their mics, and Scott's just asking him a few questions. And he's like, what is it about being here in D.C.? All these, and he's like, honestly, he's like, you know, mentions the brotherhood, essentially, and that all these guys are great guys, mm-hmm. and the coaching staff's great. He said, honestly, even you guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and Scott said, well, how does that impact? He goes, I don't have to worry about anything. I just have to show up. He doesn't have to worry about locker stuff or media stuff. Just go out there and ball. What a great environment.
He's easy guy to root for, because he was homeless for part of his, his youth. Like, he was here in D.C. for part of his upbringing. Like, he's got local ties.
Was he born in the islands?
I think he was born somewhere in the Caribbean. I'm not 100% sure.
Somewhere down
but
there.
But he's an easy guy to root for. Like, that's a guy that came from literally nothing and has turned himself into one of the better defensive tackles league.
And he's just a humongous human
being.
He's
a monstrous
person. And that's what they needed.
Yes, they needed
They lose Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
They sign Kinlaw. And Kinlaw is going to be mostly a space eater. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have 15 sacks and have any sexy numbers.
That's not why they signed him.
But with Daron Payne playing like he is and Kinlaw playing like he has, I think that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, they're getting exactly what they wanted from the defensive line. And heck, you're getting more than what you expected out of Dorrance Armstrong.
Oh, totally. That's looking like a great signing by Peters.
Totally.
You signed away from a division rival, which certainly helps.
And so this week will be a test for that revamped defensive line as you face Bijan, because it's all about stopping Saquon, in my mind, to get to the next level, which is to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this will be.
You have to find a way to stop the run. They couldn't do it last year.
I think this will be a good litmus test because Genty may end up being a stud, but he just got off to a slow start because of the pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
Bijan, though, proven, you know how versatile and powerful he can be.
Mm-hmm.
If they can, look, they're not going to stop him, but if they can minimize his impact, then you could feel pretty comfortable that this is probably who they are defensively.
The defense is flirting with top 10 in rushing yards allowed. They're 12th.
Yeah.
From where they came from last year,
right.
Being 30th or 31st, I think is where they ended.
Incredible.
Like, they were just getting gashed in the run game all the time.
I mean, he's going to get
it's
his.
It's a market improvement.
He's going to get his in all likelihood, but just hopefully it's not too many.
You just need to mitigate him as much as you can.
Yeah.
If you can somehow keep Bijan Robinson around 100 rushing and receiving yards combined in the game.
Is that going to be good enough, you think?
I just think that you're doing a pretty good job at containing him. Because that's how dynamic of a player he is.
He's going to touch the ball a bunch.
As he should.
Yes.
Look, if you're coming off a 30-0 just blasting by a division opponent like they are, I'd get the ball in my best player's hands as much as I could.
Of course.
That's my priority number one,
right.
Is Bijan touches.
So last season when they played him, which Washington won 30-24, Bijan had 17 carries for 90 yards, mm-hmm. averaged 5.3 yards per carry, had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's scary.
What did he do in the receiving game?
He only caught 3 balls for 8 yards.
Okay, so he had right around 100,
He had 20 touches.
Total.
Yeah, but he had 2 touchdowns. He counted for 14 points himself.
Yeah. I think he's going to have 24 to 26 touches between rushing and receiving
and
in this game.
And yet you think the Skins are going to win handily. You're very pro going to win handily.
I don't know that they're going to win handily because, look, it's a road game against an opponent that's coming off
changing
humiliating.
Your tune?
I think that the Commanders are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be an easy victory.
I
don't think you're going to win by 14 points.
No, not going to be like the Raider game.
It's going to be tight. No, it's not going to be tight.
I don't foresee that.
We're not going to come back here and talk about how great offense, defense, and special teams was.
I think it's possible.
It rarely happens.
I think it's possible. Look, Atlanta's coming off a 30-0 loss to Carolina, and they seem to have some disarray. They're moving coaches around. They're firing coaches. There's talk about the quarterbacks not getting along. Kirk Cousins filled in last week. That could be a team. It could be a team where a coach loses the team and they just tank, because that happens.
Yeah, they could be teetering on the edge right now as we speak.
Like, good for them. They beat the Vikings, and J.J. McCarthy had like 10 completions in week two.
I just think it's more likely they're going to bounce back than just
probably
then bottom out.
Usually you see teams when they get completely
they are professional.
Pummeled like that, they usually bounce back, now, especially if it's home.
In that win against the Vikings, all right, J.J. McCarthy had 2 interceptions. He had a QBR of 5.9 in that game. Now, maybe you credit Atlanta's defense, but what I want to say is it's not like the Falcons were great that day. Michael Penix, who's their starting quarterback for now, had 13 completions for 135 yards. Now, Bijan had a big day. He ran for 143 against them, but that's their one win. Now, they had a close game against Tampa in week one, but I don't know. I'm not convinced that this team is going to bounce back, because sometimes teams go south.
So listen to this. This is crazy. When you actually look, now a lot of these are rest, but in terms of who participated yesterday and like the injury report for yesterday for the Skins.
It's long.
Oh my, I've never seen it. Now, four of them are just for rest. So Tunsil took a rest day. Payne took a rest day. Von Miller, right? Veteran rest days.
Yeah.
The vets got their rest days. Zach Ertz. But then you got Colson Yankoff. He's got an ankle, but full participant. Jaden limited. Trey Amos at the calf limited. Terry did not participate, obviously finding a sec. They added Bill.
Knee.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. He's got a knee. Did not participate. They think it's minor, but still. Percy Butler. Got a hip. Did not participate. Noah Brown. Still with the groin and the knee. Did not participate. He ain't playing.
I wouldn't expect him to play.
John Bates, the calf groin, did not participate. I don't think he's playing.
He's probably a long shot, too.
Now, the good news is, did Baldy also, or no, some of these other, like the PFF guys, they were raving about what Sinnott did. Mark Bullock and those guys. I don't know if he works for PFF anymore or where he works, but they were saying Sinnott had his best game as a pro.
He had a higher, as a blocker.
I believe he had a higher rating than Debo.
Oh yeah, Debo was like, his rating is kind of middling.
Well, not like JP was saying, they had the drops.
It's the drops. I think he's getting penalized.
But
for that.
Debo had a better game than Sinnott. Hello,
I agree with you. But just when they look at it on a play by play basis, he's grading high.
I don't put any stock into that.
Yeah, you don't have to, but it's good for Sinnott.
Do you care about a winning streak against the Falcons? This is the 5th straight season that Washington and Atlanta will play.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's kind of freaky.
Right.
So 5 straight seasons that Washington and Atlanta will play.
Are they 4-0?
Washington is looking to extend a 4-game winning streak.
Right. Oh. Because, Cakes, why?
This is your line, not mine.
They're the Falcons.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you should be better than them. Now, you know how dumb people are? This is how dumb a certain percentage of people are. Usually it's the HTTC diehards. We'll get a win over like a Lions or a Falcons, and I'll say, at the end, I'll just type, they're the Falcons.
Yep.
And then they'll go, oh, why you have to. They think I'm minimizing. I'm not minimizing the win. I'm mocking the opponent.
Yeah, you're minimizing the other franchise.
Yeah, I'm mocking the other opponent. I'm not mocking our win.
How many Lombardi trophies do the Falcons have?
As many as you have.
I know.
Right. Zero. Zippy.
That's kind of an important number for me. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'm not going to say no respect. Very little regard for you if you've never hoisted a Lombardi.
Falcons have the same number as the dumb Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
Right. Bills. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that have zero. Oh,
yeah. That's right. The Bills, yeah, you still got to have respect for them. Yeah, Bills, you got to have respect for. But
you can kind of goof on them for being gaggers in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that the Falcons are going to bounce back and win. I don't think they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not going to get,
but they're going to play a lot better than they did Sunday.
I think so.
I don't think so, but I could still see Washington winning by a couple touchdowns.
Well, if we get back to our 30 burger ways,
In two of the games, they've been over 400 yards of offense. Mm-hmm. I know they didn't convert in the Giants game. Jaden wasn't firing on all cylinders. He looked a little off, but they still had 400 yards of offense.
We're kind of sleeping on Deebo Samuel homecoming game narrative. He's from Inman, South Carolina, 3 hours away from Atlanta.
That's a stretch.
How's that a stretch? He's from that region of the country.
It's from the not region. Yeah.
It's not a stretch at all.
I know that people.
How is that a stretch?
Homecoming, okay.
What is your. Okay, so 3 hours.
3 hours.
What if it
three
was 4 hours?
3 hours by
hours?
Car.
All right, so it's a Kinlaw. It's a Kinlaw homecoming, too.
Kinlaw. Oh, because he went to South Carolina?
Well, he went to high school in South Carolina, went to South Carolina. Yeah.
It's a double homecoming game narrative. I think you guys sleep. Yeah. You guys sleep on these little nuggets.
Yeah, it's homecoming.
And Debo's going to get 100 targets because there's going to be no Terry. So that, too.
I got to ask Dave if I'm playing Deebo in my league.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the other part of not having Terry is they can pay more attention to Deebo.
Understood.
Right? So if they're doubling Terry at certain stretches, they can...
Well, that's where we need Luke McCaffrey to pop off and have another big game.
I agree.
Or Jalen Lane, somebody else's step.
I agree, but it might take away from some of the Deebo impact.
That's fine. That's why we need Cliff to go into his bag and draw up a bunch of new stuff that the Falcons haven't seen yet.
Right.
They need to run the football like they did last week. When they win, it's because they run the football for nearly 200 yards.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that happens again.
Yep.
Actually, in both the games they won, they've run for over 200 yards. That's their formula. They're a running team.
Yeah, Falcons they should be embarrassed by losing 30 to nothing. They should have done what the killer in Red Dragon did and smashed all the mirrors in their locker room because they're ashamed of looking at themselves. That's a horrible loss.
Well, that's
by
why
them.
You're gonna horrible. Get a, that's why you're gonna get a pissed off team with something to prove.
Sure.
You know,
well,
they're gonna get their best effort.
They can be pissed, but if they can't score points, it's gonna be tough for them to win.
I think they're gonna score some points.
Hmm.
But we'll see.
I thought they'd score points last week against Carolina, but they couldn't. So
not
we'll see.
One.
Not a single point. Not even a field goal. God, they were terrible.
That's just embarrassing.
By the way, you noticed that they did not bring in a kicker.
The Commanders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember, you had said they were going to bring in kickers.
They have other fish to fry. Their quarterback and their top receiver are probably out this weekend.
Okay.
You know, Matt Gay's getting a pass.
Okay.
Getting a pass because everything else is happening.
All right.
All the other nonsense. All right, coming up later, Dave Richard will join us. That's at 8, so get your Week 4 fantasy football questions ready for him. He joins us at 8 o'clock here on The Fan.
Danny, I want to get back to the Commanders, though, and stop in Bijan Robinson. So here is kind of my concern. First off, this guy can't be tackled in isolation. Getting him to the ground, he is Saquon to me. Like, this is as good a player as there is in the entire NFL at this moment. And it's masked, and people don't really know it because the quarterbacks of his offense is playing terribly, and the line is just okay. But if you look at what the Falcons do well and what Bijan does well, it's the thing that Washington has really struggled to defend the last year plus, which is outside running. Robinson has gained 159 of his 239 on the ground outside the tackles this season, which is second most in the NFL. He's been effective post-contact on those runs. He has a league-leading 139 yards after contact. That's 4.2 per carry. Fifth highest mark among running backs with at least 15 carries outside the tackles. Why do I care about that? Because I said this going into the game last year, and it ended up happening in the first half. What does Washington struggle with? When you get Bobby Wagner going laterally, horizontally, when you can't just kind of turn everything back right up to him in the phone booth where he's so good at getting people on the ground. Make him run a little bit sideways. Make him use his speed at 35 years old. Outside zone, stretch runs, pin and pull stuff on tosses to the sideline. That's the Falcons' bread and butter. And if they don't come out and do that to Washington extensively, somebody needs to grill Zach Robinson because I don't think Washington has the answer to that. And you saw it in the first half against the Falcons last year.
I'm with you. Yeah, as you look at this thing, interior runs, Washington's among the league leaders. They're fifth in the NFL in defensive rush DVOA. Everybody with me on that? So they have handled the running game exceptionally well. Part of that is who they've played. Now, there are teams that love to run the football. They just saw two of them. The Raiders aren't very good at it. Green Bay is, but you've got Josh Jacobs, who was there to thump. please do that. Please run between the tackles. I'll take my chances. Robinson will get a couple because he's so good.
Also, think about how they fixed their problem last year. So you and I begged them, please get better at stopping the run this offseason. Peters didn't need us to say it, right? He knew what they needed to do. They go out and they add size up front. The human smart car that is Eddie Goldman. The human Ford F-950. I don't know. What's the biggest truck?
350, 250?
Javon Kinlaw, right? Size, interior, defensive tackle play. The big fella they brought in on the edge, Dietrich Wise, is hurt. He's gone. Preston Smith didn't play last week. I would think he'll make his debut this week. Maybe his length helps them with his long arms being able to set the edge. But they have not really been tested yet in terms of edge setting.
This is where I was going.
And I can't wait to see what that looks like.
I am hopeful, but I'm not optimistic is what I would say. Again, we talk about this all the time. One of my things in sports in general, I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about in general. When a guy is excellent and he behaves excellently against you, you go, yeah, the guy's great. You know, like when Jacob deGrom is in his Cy Young winning prime and he goes 8 shutout innings against you, he's going to do that his next start too. He's awesome. But when the jag, when the zilch carves you up, that drives me insane. This is not that time. Bijan Robinson is going to have an excellent season on the ground. He's going to have an excellent season in terms of all-purpose yards. He's going to go over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I hope he doesn't get it all this week, but I hope this isn't one of those get-fat games. But this feels, like you're saying, going against a prime Saquon Barkley in terms of how dangerous he is. You could do a great job for a quarter, two quarters, three quarters, even 3.5 quarters, that one run, right, where he makes 3 different guys miss, stiff arm somebody into oblivion, a la Derrick Henry, and shuttles on down the sideline for 30, 40, 50, 60 yards. He's that good. He is electric and in his prime. So this to me is about limiting, not canceling, not being able to say
you can't.
You're not doing what you just did to Ashton Jeanty, frankly, where you held him on the majority of his carries to 14 carries for 18 yards. That's not happening this week. The outside stuff, how you contain that, to me it's easy to say, set the edge. Okay. This is, you know, when you'd like your full complement of safeties. I wish they had Will Harris for this game. Not that he's fast enough to stop Robinson one-on-one, but that it's that downhill second layer support, making secondary members come up and tackle, linebackers having a run, to your point. I'm with you on that.
So it's got to be a safety game, to your point. I think Jeremy Reeves, physicality, violence in the box can help. Percy Butler's been banged up. We're not sure if he's going to play or not. This is actually a game without Will Harris where he would be a benefit.
I think it would help this week.
You need Quan Martin, who's willing and physical at the line of scrimmage as well, to help corners on the outside. I know this is another issue, right? They're not 100% healthy, but Trey Amos did practice a bunch and do some good things this week on the practice field, so maybe they feel better about him. But it's about those guys funneling and turning things back in and just being willing to kind of take somebody on. If you're a corner and you'll take on the tight end pulling around or the guard or the tackle who's setting, you know, the agenda and the paving the way, basically, you've got to be willing to take on that player because now the next guy there can make the tackle. If you're just kind of bailing or, my knee's not right, my shoulder, my arm, something's not great.
Business decisions, yeah.
Now all of a sudden the next level of defense is the one getting blocked, and it's a house call for Bijan Robinson. So these are the types of things I worry about. But that's just the running part. And I'm less worried about the running part than the receiving part with him. And it sounds like you're like, oh, come on, you're acting like this guy's the MVP. I legitimately believe right now he's the best player in the NFL. I really believe that. Offensively, I think he is the scariest guy. After how many carries Saquon took last year and the amount of contact on his body, I would, at this moment, take Bijan Robinson over Saquon for the next couple of weeks in terms of, like, straight, you know, my running back, physical football, giving him touches. And the last thing I'm going to say is in the receiving way, I don't think they have anyone that can defend him. I think you got to do it by committee. There's got to be some kind of way to zone and bracket and put people in just space to corral him and kind of hem him in a little bit. But if their plan is a linebacker, you lose. If your plan is a safety, I don't think that works. You might have to have a corner on him.
When he motions out, I would.
Yeah, well, I don't even mean that. I mean, out of the backfield, like your nickel responsibility might be.
So Mikey Sandmer still is almost, I don't want to say shadowing him, but
yes,
close to that.
Mikey becomes like, oh, you're running a choice route? Okay, I got him. Someone else can cover my guy. Because he's their best player. So act like it. He has caught 14 passes on 18 targets this year, which is a team high. 164 yards, second most among all running backs. Does have a touchdown as a receiver. It was a long one to open the season. It's their only passing touchdown of the year, by the way. but he's second among all running backs in yards after the catch with 170. If you look at his yards after catch over expected, stuff that's not blocked but kind of created by him with his vision, plus 65, also best in the league. Who's better than this guy right now?
He's he'd be scary. Washington's leading receiver. You know what I mean? Like, that's not hyperbolic either. That's the thing.
So I'm going to pick at the end of the show the Commanders to win this game tight, but I really do believe it's close. And if you're saying, oh, you're overrating Robinson, they have not played a player like him this season. In week three against the Raiders, there's nobody like him on that offense that scares you. And I say that after they just gave up 3 touchdowns to a wide receiver. Brock Bowers is really good. He was not 100%. The week before that with Green Bay, Josh Jacobs, battering ram. You know, their best player in the passing games, Jaden Reed, got hurt early in the game. Week one of the season, all the way back to when the whole thing got started, Malik Nabers is a superstar, but is a more dependent position where he's not as involved. Bijan, if they want him to have the ball in his hands, he will. So that is why I can't talk enough about him this week.
Yeah, so to me, this is kind of what I've been hyping up all week long, in the sense that these guys are enough talent to be capable, right? In terms of the Falcons, who have not performed well offensively yet this year. They have not. There's no way to dispute that. I mean, that's kind of the counterpoint to what we're saying, is against Tampa, they were okay, I suppose. Minnesota, it was downright bad at times. And against Carolina, they were a disaster. They have not put the good tape out consistently. They haven't performed well as an offense. The point I'm trying to make is I'd bet on a breakout for them before I'd bet on a breakout for New Orleans. I'd bet on a breakout for Cleveland or some other offensively inept team because they don't have the horses. I think you can major in Bijan Robinson early, middle, and late, and when it's just enough, when you get sick of it, that's when Drake London can do something special. That's when McLeod, or that's when Mooney, or that's when somebody else could hit you with something. Because you have to pay him just enough attention to slow him down. There's a counterpunch there. And they need to make things easier for Penix. They need to find a way to get him something downfield. And what better way to do that than have everybody's eye line following Bijan Robinson everywhere he goes. The same thing, by the way, like Kingsbury's doing with Deebo Samuel. But turned up to 11. Right? That's what Deebo Samuel's doing here. He's got the football in his hands because he's good with it. But B, Cliff Kingsbury wants you to notice Deebo Samuel. That's why the motion happens. That's why if there's a regular old run play to Chris Rodriguez, Samuel is going in motion, making you think he might get the football. That threat is worth almost as much sometimes to get other guys good looks, and they've got guys that can take advantage. It's a nerve-wracking thing. They're going to break out at some point. I just hope it's not this week.
So I think Deebo, by the way, to your point on him, just bringing him up, I think he will have a very solid game. I could see him catching 6 or 7 balls just because of the lack of weapons in the passing game that are healthy. But I think this is a heavy run game for Washington. So I think Deebo is going to run the ball 3 or 4 times. He'll be involved. I'd like to see them early in the game do what they did last week, have him in the Wildcat, Zach Ertz next to him for some of the direct snap stuff. They only did that once for 9 yards. I could see doing that 2 or 3 times even in this game. But last week they called runs on 56% of plays with Daniels out. I think you're going to see something like that again. Now, that was, by the way, over 20% higher than their called run average in the first 2 games of the season with Daniels playing. Tells you that right away, Kingsbury had the philosophy, let's help Marcus Mariota, let's be a lot more balanced. I think they would have run the ball more anyway coming out of the Green Bay game because that was the lifestyle all week. Chris Paul told me that was the plan from Monday on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a complete coincidence that was also with your backup quarterback out there. It was one of the highest rates this season that a team has called run plays at a 56% rate. That's going to be the case again this week with Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt, Chris Rodriguez, and Jeremy McNichols. And they do it in a way with tempo where it's really, really hard defensively. If they're picking up 3, then 5, then 4, you get gassed fast.
Yeah.
And if you're not subbing, you know, the Commanders lead the NFL with a 60% no-huddle rate this season. That is double the next closest team. I'm going to say that again. The number 2 team in the NFL in no-huddle runs no-huddle 30% of the times. That's the Saints. The Commanders do it 60% of the time. Over half of their plays come without a huddle. That tempo, they do it more than anybody since, this is several years ago in Philly, when college coach
Chip Kelly
was running no huddle. Nobody else has done it like Cliff Kingsbury. So I just think we say, oh, the Falcons defense is good. If they're fatigued, if they're on the field, if you're running the ball, Mariota becomes that much better. I don't worry about the offense. I worry about stopping Bijan Robinson. And If they can do it, I will take my hat off, and I don't know who it is. If it's Wagner, who has an amazing game, or Luvu, great. But I think it's probably got to be somebody in the secondary. And because it's a beleaguered, injury-riddled secondary, maybe someone we're not even expecting, like a Tyler Owens or somebody, who completely steps up and proves that they're better than people think.
Yeah, Noah I is kind of like a physical hybrid nickel or something, you know, or a dime player. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. You're going to have to tackle well. Jeremy Reeves fits in well in that regard, bringing some of that physicality. But this, to me, is one of those – this is a terrible analogy, but it just popped into my brain. The 7-8 BRYC Ravens flag football team.
This is a good analogy.
This is really good.
No, tell us more about that.
The other team that we played this past week had one kid that was incredible.
Oh, man.
Grant, incredible. He was the quickest kid on the field, the fastest kid on the field, stop, start, etc. And we learned after a couple touchdown drives that, you'll be surprised, he was featured on and scored on both times. You cannot stop him with one person trying to reach for the flag. Everybody has to surround him every time he's got the football. And by the middle of the second half, the kids kind of learn the lesson. This is a similar situation, but at the NFL level. You don't see that usually. You can't do a, all right, this guy's one-on-one in space with Robinson. You better turn and pursue then, if that's the case. It must be gang tackles. It must be over-pursuing. Not over-pursuing in terms of running too far. But everybody's got to make sure that you're continuing to run to the football. So the way that McNichols sprung for his 60-yard touchdown last week, it's a similar pathology. You cannot stop until that dude is on the ground and you're sure about it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.